The history of rock and roll.
Phil Spector, described by writer Tom Wolfe as America's first teenage millionaire, was actually out of his teens when he earned his first million, but not too far out. At the age of 17, he wrote "To Know Him Is to Love Him." Later, he founded his own record company and began producing hits such as "Uptown," "Be My Baby," "Zippity Doo-Dah," and "You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling." His production methods are the most admired and imitated in the pop record industry. The History of Rock and Roll gathered comments about Phil Spector from Ike Turner of Ike and Tina Turner, who met Phil during the recording sessions for River Deep Mountain High.
What happened with Phil? See, Phil, he hires like every available good musician in Los Angeles, whether he use them or don't use them on the session. And he'll have like five piano players, with five pianos in the studio, and he'll have like four or five drummers, 12 guitars, maybe I don't know how many horns, because I heard he had 25 or 30 voices on the background of that record. You'd be surprised at what's really on the record. Every time you listen to it, you hear something different, man. You know, and he put it all together, man. The guy's a genius, really, you know.
Phil Spector worked with Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller on records by the Drifters, Benny King, and others. Jerry Lieber remembers their first contact with him.
We've gotten a call from out here, from an old associate of ours, who said he had this great kid who wrote and produced and wanted to be in New York. And then he went out on his own and had an awful lot of talent and a lot of ideas. I thought he was extremely talented. And a little bit strange.
A producer hears more than most record buyers, and Phil Spector has two of the best ears in the record business. So the History of Rock and Roll invited him to listen to several records, a blindfold test, in that he didn't know what records were being played before he heard them. The session began with the Four Tops' "Reach Out."
That's the sound. I love that. Sounds like somebody beating on a chair with a leather top. This is the Four Tops singing Bob Dylan, if you listen real carefully. And you're walking to whatever the sun. And everything is gone to bad. And everything is, that's really what it is. It's Black Dylan. If you listen to this record carefully, you'll notice that Motown has the same thing Volkswagen has. They have a style, and it's never really going out of style for a long time, and as long as it continues to sell, they'll go in, and the old joke about Motown is, you know, a Motown record is the same record recorded with different lyrics every 3 weeks, you know, but realistically, they're very creative, and this was really a hell of a record, and it's a drum-based sound that is very consistent. Therefore, you can build around it. Levi has a lot of the ingredients that Benny had at that time. He had a way to sell a song and interpret a song, which is the whole key, really, to what soul music is, interpretation. I think he could be a hit singer anyway, yeah. But there are a lot of hit singers around who aren't making it without, because they have no direction. It's like there are a lot of great writers around who are making it without direction. So I think he could be a hit singer anywhere, but I think they're giving him the direction he needs. He really sounds in many ways a lot like Marvin Gaye, but it's not important because the material and the direction is much better. than he would have if he were, let's say, on his own.
And I'll be there. You can always depend on me.
The Phil Spector blindfold test on the history of rock and roll continues with the Teddy Bears, To Know Him Is to Love Him, which Spector wrote in 1957.
This is a funny record. This record was cut with just guitar, and there's no bass on the record, and I sang ba da da da.
I'd be good to him.
A million overdubs, and I played the drum, and then I couldn't make it on the drum because it was too hard to play all the instruments at the same time, so Sandy Nelson, before he was Sandy, played the drum. Tired story, but this is the on my father's grave. This is To Know Him Must to Love Him was the theme that my mother had written there, and it always intrigued me, and that was the story of the song.
Phil Spector discusses the origins of Zippity Doodah for the rockumentary.
All the clicking in this record was the idea was taken from the Harlem Globetrotters. Their record, A Sweet Georgia Brown, that they play, their theme.
Huh? The warm-up song, right?
Yeah, the Sweet Georgia Brown warm-up. It's, you know, ham bones. This is cut in L.A. too, and Darlene Love, who we use on a lot of records, she's singing in the background. This is the old Blossom, Fanita James and Darlene Love. And that's Billy Strange playing a guitar solo, but he wanted to play it so damn loud that we had to turn his mic off. I think maybe even Herbie Alba may be in the rhythm section, or Sonny Bono was in it, and you know, tempos on horn. It's the old Academy Award winner by Ray Gilbert. Hell of a great writer. Walt Disney movie, Song of the South.
Everything's gonna be.
I just thought it would be a groovy idea to, it seemed like so incongruous, Zippity Doodah this way, that it just had to work. I think it worked.
Since I Don't Have You by the Skyliners concludes the history of rock and roll blindfold test, remember, Phil Spector had no advanced knowledge of which records were going to be played for him.
It's a great, great record. Company went out of business. This is a hell of a, this is one of the great lead singers of all time, man. This was a contribution. Great contribution, this record. Skyliners. Pittsburgh, PA. Da-da-da. All right. This record just was a winner record. You just dug and just listened to. You could say the piano was too loud. You could say technically a lot of things, but you didn't have to. To the strings played by pizzicato riffs in the middle here. I mean, that's very, very clever. Nobody was doing that then except maybe Mitch Miller 10 years earlier. Too on Cold Picks, and nothing happened. Jimmy Beaumont, that was his name. He had the oboes and clarinets. How about the soprano? It proved to me that it could be done. And that was enough. That black could be white and vice versa. All right. Sacagawea.
The History of Rock and Roll, with special thanks to Downbeat Magazine for the inspiration, moves from the world's first rock blindfold test with Phil Spector to another Spector hit from 62, He's a Rebel by the Crystals. By Ruby and the Romantics brought an unconventional sound to rock and roll in 1963. You Are My Sunshine was a hit that year, considerably revamped by Ray Charles.
I sat down at the piano and I thought, well, I don't want to sing You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine, You Make Me Happy When Skies Are Gray. Well, you know, I wanted to do it different from that. And so I started fooling around, just sitting at the piano and playing around with it and trying to see what kind of feeling I could get out of it. And that's what we came up with.
The other night, as I lay sleeping, oh, I dream I held you in my arms. Oh, but when I woke up this morning, I found out I was mistaken. I'm
history of rock and roll.
From the Caribbean feeling of Jimmy Soul's If You Want to Be Happy, the rock chart sweep goes to another 1963 smash, Fingertips, the first big record for little Stevie Wonder, who defines soul for the history of rock and roll.
Soul doesn't particularly pertain to one race. Soul is only the way of expressing. For instance, if you were reciting a poem, if you were putting feeling in the poem, you're putting yourself into it or your soul into it. So therefore, you're expressing it with feeling. But if you are just doing it, or listening to, or if you have listened to someone else that did it, and you're only doing it like they did it, you're not really expressing it yourself.
Guitarist paid an instrumental tribute to Memphis in 63. The history of rock and roll continues with a 1963 hit from Martha and the Vandellas.
The history of rock and roll.
Barry, one of the prominent writers of the 1960s, talked about some of his songs for the rockumentary.
Tell Laura was the first That was by Ray Peterson. Around the same time was a record that is a little more obscure. It's funny that once in a while people do know about it, but it's one of the records that I feel most proud of. It was a record by Sam Cooke. It was called Teenage Sonata, but it was, as far as I know, the only song ever recorded by Sam Cooke that he did not write himself. Along the way, there have been, like, the Monkees and Neil Diamond and the Ronettes and the Crystals and Connie Francis and Leslie Gore, and many of the songs I've written were with Ellie Greenwich. You see, we wrote such things as Be My Baby, which we wrote with Phil Spector, and The Duran Run, also with Phil.
Were another of the big 63 groups with Easier Said Than Done.
My friends all tell me, go to him, run to him, say sweet lovely things to him and tell him he's the one. Deep in my heart,
the history of rock rolls on through 1963 with the sound of the Four Seasons.
The history of rock and roll.
Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't cry. Big girls. They don't cry.
Four Seasons began their hit streak in 1962 and were still rising fast in 63, propelled by Big Girls Don't Cry. Another sound of 63 came from Doris Troy, a song described by record executive Artie Rip.
I was fortunate enough to find a girl named Doris Troy. I went into the studio and cut a record on a song called Just One Look. The record came out on Atlantic. It was a big hit record.
Just one look.
The documentary continues traveling through the year 1963 with an unusual record by the Jaynettes, Sally Go Round the Roses, a hybrid of folk and rock music several years before it became the thing to do. The documentary continues with Sounds of 63 in a moment.